We will now hear the word of the Lord as given to us in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And you can find that in your pew Bible on page 1133, and I suspect behind me shortly. And then also in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, 35 to 48. Let us hear the word of the Lord through his scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And then from the gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 35 through 48, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1034. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that had come down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." This has been the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As you know, Martin and Ross are away at the General Assembly. I spent most of my ministry in the United Church, and I know that I joined with the prayer of the Highland elder who, when his minister was away at the General Assembly, prayed, "Oh Lord, pray that they may do as little harm as possible." But we are blessed to have Martin and Ross and Daniel in this congregation who love the Lord and preach faithfully from the Word of God. So we have every reason to rejoice. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. C.S. Lewis, a brilliant professor at Oxford University, was an atheist and then an agnostic until, when he was 32 years of age, he suddenly and rather reluctantly became a Christian. Because of his background, he knew the objections that people raised to avoid becoming a Christian. He wrote in Ev Romaine's favorite book, Mere Christianity, "People often say, 'I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I won't accept his claim to be God.' That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse." Now, Jesus did not say that he was a poached egg, but he did say several times in John chapter 6, which you've just heard, "I am the bread of life." This is the first of the I am statements contained in John's gospel. It's followed by others such as, "I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world." Now, each of these statements begins with the Greek words ego eimi, "I am," which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew personal name of God. I am that I am. Jesus goes on to explain that just as manna came down from heaven to feed Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness, so he came down from heaven to be the bread of life, the source of life and strength to all those who trust and follow him. If we want to look at the big picture, from before the foundation of the world until the end of time, it is God's plan, God's intention to unite us all with himself, to adopt us all as his children in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is all set out in the first chapter of Ephesians. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. He has made known to us the mystery of his will set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." And then he gave us the seal, the assurance of these promises, a foretaste in the Holy Spirit. What John 6 and Ephesians chapter 1 are talking about is our union with Christ. Throughout the scriptures, we're told that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. This union with Christ is as if God the Father has reached out with two arms to give us a warm embrace. With one arm, he embraces us in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus. And with the other arm, he reaches out with the Holy Spirit as he unites us to Christ so that we can come in Christ to him. Now, how do we learn about our union with Christ? We learn about God's plan to unite us to himself in his Son through the Word and sacraments. We may ask, what is the Word of God? But perhaps it's better to ask, who is the Word of God? Because in the first instance, the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. John's Gospel begins saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And a little later, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the living Word, is witnessed to in the written Word, the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. But Scripture itself, the written Word, speaks of the Word in yet a third way, the Word as proclamation. The sermon, the sacraments, the witness of Christians in their daily lives and conversations also point to Christ, the living Word. The proclamation of the Word in and by the Christian community is guided by the written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And it is witness, and it witnesses to the living Word of God himself, that is Jesus. The church is not here to talk about itself. The church is not here to offer cheap therapy sessions to make people feel better about themselves. The church is not here to offer moral advice to make nice people nicer. The church is here to witness to the costly grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to tell people about his birth, his life, his faith, his faithfulness, his obedience, his suffering and death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his continuing ministry as he sends both his prayers and his presence among us through the Holy Spirit. And all of this until he gathers up all things in himself in the new heaven and the new earth. Now, when does our union with Christ begin? Ephesians tells us that it begins far before we were even born. In fact, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God's plan, God's choice, God's decision is then revealed in the incarnation, the birth, the Word becoming flesh in Jesus Christ. Late in his life, C.S. Lewis was interviewed by an American Christian journalist who was writing about well-known individuals who'd been converted to Christianity during adult life. The theme of the article was decision, and he wanted Lewis to say how he had made his decision. Unfortunately for the journalist, Lewis refused to put it in those terms. He said that he had not made a decision. God had closed in on him and he couldn't escape, even though at the time he badly wanted to. The closest he would come to using the language the journalist sought was to say, I was decided upon. I was decided upon. It says, Jesus said in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. I chose you. Jesus chose us. And he chose to come to us as the bread of life. How do we feed on the bread of life? How do we feed on Jesus? Well, the first way is by meditating on his word, his written word. As we meditate on the words of Scripture each day, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, will take us beyond the written words to himself, the living word. We will read the Scriptures with Jesus. And the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit will feed our spirits. Jesus said, I am with you always. That's a promise. I'm with you always. And he is. He's constantly with us on our journey to strengthen us, to encourage us, to feed us. A second way in which we feed on Jesus is when we pray with him. We hear Jesus speaking to us in the Bible, and we answer by praying with Jesus. Jesus is already and antecedently always praying for us. So when we pray, we add our prayers to Jesus' prayers for us and for the world. We pray with him to our Father. We pray with him, asking that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. And with Jesus we pray, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Yet a third way we feed on Christ is through receiving communion or Eucharist. Augustine and John Calvin would speak of the bread and wine as the visible words of God. In the Middle Ages, the Christians were expected to receive communion once a year. And even then, only the bread. Calvin and Luther said communion should be both with the bread and the wine every Sunday. Calvin emphasized that because the incarnation continues, the ascended Jesus has taken our cleansed and healed and renewed humanity once and for all into heaven. Jesus, as our great high priest, has taken our humanity and anchored it in heaven. Calvin, in particular, took the letter to the Hebrews very seriously. That's why the communion liturgy through the centuries, beginning in the first century, has begun with the words, lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Jesus is ascended. And now it is through the Holy Spirit that the whole redeeming Christ really is spiritually present at his table. Calvin wrote, the Spirit makes things which are widely separated by space to be united with each other and accordingly causes life from the flesh of Christ to reach us from heaven. Our participation in Christ, our union with Christ, is real, but it is at this point not yet fully realized until when Christ returns to consummate his kingdom. So the bread and wine are right now the visible signs, the visible words that and seals that everything that Christ did for us are given to us right now, through the Holy Spirit, totally and freely. When we receive communion, we commune personally with the living Christ at his table, just as we do when we hear the word of God and pray together with Jesus. Indeed, communion and the word of God cannot and should not be separated. Just as the word of God feeds our souls by entering our ears or our eyes, so the bread and the wine, the visible words of God, feed our souls by entering our mouths. But what is the purpose, the reason why we feed on Jesus? Through meditating on the word of God and in prayer and receiving the bread and wine of communion. We do it not for ourselves, but for others. We do it because God has decided upon us, chosen us, elected us, adopted us to share the ongoing ministry of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus and only Jesus who can bring healing and conversion and renewal to a rebellious and hurting world. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We come here Sunday mornings because we know this is true, and we hunger for Christ. We know that we need to be more and more united to Christ, to be fed by him, to be strengthened by him, to join him in his faithful mission to the world until kingdom come. Our message is not about ourselves. It's about Jesus, the living bread, who through his Holy Spirit comes down from heaven and feeds us unto eternal life. Let us pray. We are here because we are hungry beggars who are called to tell other hungry beggars where to find bread. Now come to the feast of the Lord's Supper, where the bread of heaven, Jesus, becomes visible, and through his Holy Spirit enters our ears and mouths and feeds us until eternal life. Amen. And now I'll ask the elders to come forward and we'll celebrate communion. If you look in your bulletins, you'll find many of the words of the prayer of great thanksgiving. So I'll ask you all to look in the middle of your bulletins. You'll find those words there. So if you could join with me, there are some responses there, including the Sursum Corda, lift up your hearts, which I mentioned in the sermon. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, sovereign of the universe. You created the heavens and the earth and saw that it was good. From the earth you bring forth bread and create the fruit of the vine. You formed us in your own image, delivered us from captivity, fed us manna in the wilderness, made covenant with us, and set before us the way of life. Therefore, with your people in all ages and with the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of unending praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most holy and merciful God, time and again we turned aside from your way and abused your gifts. Yet you gave us the crowning gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. Emptying himself that our joy might be full, he fed the hungry, healed the afflicted, ate with the scorned and forgotten, washed his disciples' feet, and gave a holy meal as the pledge of his abiding presence. On the night he gave himself up for us, at table with those who would desert and deny him, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Then recalling your Son's death and resurrection, his ascension, and his abiding presence through your Holy Spirit, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed as his body and transformed into his likeness, faithfully serve him in the world and look forward to his coming in final victory. We praise you, Father, through Christ your Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen.